Peace, how's everybody doing today? It's good. First thing I want to comment on what the brother Kevin Powell spoke about when he was opening up the conference about what Kevin Powell spoke about when he opened up the panel discussion about the ghettoization, what he called it, of the youth panels. And I've been to many conferences, Netherlands conference on youth, all kinds of conferences, and usually the youth conferences are the last conferences or at the back of the conference list, and all throughout the conference they talk about how we're supposed to help black youth and how our youth aren't as active, maybe because we got them in the basement and we put the doors locked, as Lisa said. We need to get out the basement and get these youth involved and not only participate in the conferences but help planning the conferences as well. I would first like to say that I'm honored to be a presenter at such a historical conference, and more importantly, at a very significant point in history. The topic of discussion today is the rise in militant student activism. It is very important that the word militant has been put in front of the word student activism, because that is a word that we have been taught to stand clear of and to fear. Thus, many students have been active, but many less have been militant. Militant just means soldier, one who is engaged in warfare. And ladies and gentlemen, whether you realize it or not, we have constantly been involved in a war, both physically and psychologically. So we need soldiers, warriors, and yes, militant student activists. The first thing we must make understood as student activists, that what we do is not a joke. It's not for resume building nor for self-aggrandizement. We do not have any nostalgic hangovers from the 60s, nor are we active for the sake of entertainment. Many individuals try to label our generation like the 60s was labeled and confined, making it easier to become foreign to students. Student activism today was not developed out of a vacuum. We are not a Sutton Creek accident, but we are part of an ongoing tradition of struggle that began with the first person enslaved. We developed out of a scientific evolution towards freedom. All over the country, students seized buildings and staged protests at Howard University, Tennessee State, Morgan State, University of the District of Columbia, Morris Brown in Atlanta, John Jay, City College, University High in Newark, New Jersey, and a high school in Selma, Alabama. Not because they were trying to recreate some past event, but because students are under attack. And in fact, black youth are under attack. In Washington, D.C., the Klan marched twice in less than 2 months. Bush vetoed the Civil Rights Bill, thus our humanity is being questioned once more. Everything from Virginia Beach to Howard Beach proves that the only constant in American society is racist white supremacy. Students are fighting against the increasing price of education, the unpreparedness of their education, and most importantly, an Afrocentric curriculum. The same fight that has been fought for years. As a result, I believe we need to establish a national fight for Afrocentric education, not just in a college level, but in elementary schools as well. One thing I believe our parents failed to do is institutionalize their programs and ideas. In D.C., there exist entire libraries dedicated to Shakespeare. We must not only write books, we must begin to publish them, distribute them, and more importantly, get them instituted in the curriculum of all of the learning centers in this country. When I speak of institutions, I am not just referring to schools. Institutions encompasses language, thought, and most importantly, family structures. We must incorporate Afrocentricity into all realms of life. As activists, we must not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with dogma and ideals without balancing it out with practical application. We must not become, as the book says, lights unto ourselves. We can't do as others by having dinners for $1,000 a plate while our people remain in poverty and degradation. For functions that seek to boost our egos under the guise of networking and celebrating. We cannot develop our people in our communities with donations and patronizing tutorial programs. Julius Nyerere in Man and Development said, the only true development is self-development. We cannot build schools where no one is being taught how to empower themselves. We cannot build roads that no one travels on. Our programs must involve the people they are aiming to help. For example, conferences that speak on youth aren't involved. We must take on the responsibility of acting as pillars in our community and do what public schools have failed to do. That is, teach our little brothers, our little sisters, and their friends. We must become very disciplined and scientific. We must teach them to read and give them books, values, ideas, and more importantly, teach by example. When we can no longer allow any more of our comrades to be usurped by capitalism and racism. Discipline is a key factor. We should, as one of the earlier presenters termed it, we cannot imitate the morals of our oppressor. So we should no longer tolerate drunken revolutionaries. We should no longer tolerate high revolutionaries. No more gung-ho revolutionaries. All of our plans must coincide and flow smoothly like the steps of our feet. We must no longer tolerate the beating of our women, the blatant hypocrisy that some of us do. We must speak on the irresponsibilities of some of our artists who have the children webbed in their musical scales. The Afros must be approached about their behavior and the pimp mentality they possess. BBD must not be allowed to make our women hookers, hoes, or bitches. And as the last poet say, we, as would-be revolutionaries, should not be turned into gash men. These times are becoming too serious, and we must not only be disciplined, we must be clear. Those issues that affect black youth and would-be revolutionaries today are one I term personality praising, the war on drugs, reparations, and finally this new war the United States is trying to get us into. The first item I mentioned is called personality praising. Personality praising is one's overemphasis on the individual without substantial information and beliefs on his beliefs, actions, and ideas, as well as little evidence of putting the person's ideas into practice. Personality praising, as I term it, has been caused by the government and Negro education. The government successfully wiped out all knowledge of historically black revolutionaries from the scene. Though we study white pseudo-revolutionaries like Thomas Paine, we rarely learn of Malcolm X and, more importantly, Jonathan Jackson. I say Jonathan Jackson because I believe he represents the epitome of the government's plan to wipe out the last bastion of black soldiers. He represents the rebelliousness of the youth today that they want to prevent and destroy. The kids who were young in the movement and were growing up witnessing the devils at work, they were growing bitter, strong, intelligent, and yes, angry. Frederick Douglass said, oppression makes a wise man mad. I believe the government has effectively wiped out these children of war, our future leaders. And when they were giving our parents jobs and allowing them to take part in the system, they were killing the warriors of 1990, Jonathan Jackson, a 17-year-old revolutionary. 1970 exploded in front of a courthouse while trying to rescue his brother from the fangs of the ghost. They killed him and a white judge. Fred Hampton, gunned down in his home, 1969. George Jackson and Bobby Hutton. And the rest were locked up, gone crazy, or missing in action. Obalaji Baraka, a child of the Newark Rebellion, jailed as a victim of an ongoing colony. Because they were wiped out, there has been a void, leaving the transfer of ideas and revolutionary fervor to confusion and Negroes. As a result, King has been reduced to a dream, Malcolm to by any means necessary. Now children want to be Malcolm and Huey and King without understanding their philosophies, ideas, and actions. They want to be like Malcolm, a gun-toter, who said he killed by any means necessary. or live like King and be a dreamer, or like Huey and shoot down some pigs. We must let go of these personalities and struggle with the ideas. We must leave the man alone and recreate his philosophies. We must stop the celebrations until the celebration is a final victorious one. Negro education also plays an important role in perpetuating personality praising. In a Negro education, everything is European in construct and covered over with black face. They think Afrocentricity is having a black Mother Goose or a black Bart Simpson. They think that Afrocentricity is teaching children about Malcolm's resume and not his evolution into manhood. They teach where he went to school and where his mother went to school. And more importantly, they know less of Malcolm than the children, so they teach him as a foreigner. Thus, children don't really know the man or understand him. And they want to be him. Instead of evolve or go through the changes and discipline that he went through, Negro education seeks to ultimately pacify you and make you a mockery before the world. The next issue I would like to speak on is very important. It is the so-called war on drugs. Historically, the government has attacked the black community under the guise of the war on gang violence. They use this tactic to introduce drugs, cause confusion, and initiate COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program. The war on gangs became the war on youth, and it ultimately had us killing one another. They have now successfully advanced to another level. They are using the war on drugs to bring about fascism and institute a police state. When one thinks of drugs, you automatically think of black men under 25. The media has portrayed the drug epidemic as a purely young black thing. When you see commercial ads about the war on drugs, they effectively have a young black man as the dealer and a little black kid as the buyer. They have portrayed the drug problem as a young black male problem. We sell it, we smoke it ourselves. This not only sends messages out to little old white ladies in Kentucky, but more important, black mothers in Harlem who are now calling for their own children's arrest and eventually their death. The key word I used earlier was young. The drug epidemic, as portrayed on the news, is erroneous. It is a plot to get white America to hate young black men and for our own parents to sanction our deaths. No one sells drugs to kids. They do not hang out in front of schools for that matter. Drug dealers have clientele, people who they sell to. Any one of us can attest to that. It is a known fact in the community that smoking, as we call it, is a sickness. Most of the people they sell it to are adults. Thus, the children's respect for adults diminishes cell by cell. And they begin to think that they can only depend on themselves. Some people sell drugs for years and don't make a lot of money, contrary to what the media wants everybody to believe, the lavish, rich lifestyle that we copied from Al Capone and The Godfather while John Gotti remains free. While we go to jail, they continue to glorify gangsters on television and teach us how to shoot guns on TV. Propaganda like City Under Siege and so on has got America up in arms. The city is not under siege by teenagers who don't make laws, don't vote, don't establish school curriculum, don't tax, don't pay taxes. The city has never been under siege by them. We don't need to get the streets back from them, but from the biggest dope of all, Bush. These type of shows also make us as children feel unsafe on our own streets. We begin to carry guns so we can shoot in order to stop from being shot. Therefore, you have a bunch of kids running around in the streets with their guns like the Wild Wild West. The war on drugs has allowed young black boys to be violated in all forms. It's become the impetus for the police to bum rush our communities and violate our rights and put us under occupation. There have been illegal search and seizures where people are totally humiliated In Newark, the police stopped taxi cabs and pulled black boys out and strip searched them in the streets. In all inner cities around the country, new laws are being passed. In California, they are arresting people's parents for neglect if their child is caught selling drugs. In Chicago, they have installed metal detectors on some housing projects. Also in Virginia, there has been talk of evicting families from housing projects if anyone was caught selling drugs. They have developed separate drug court statutes and procedures. They have been calling for the death penalty for so-called kingpins, which is defined by them. They have also established what I call Gestapo forces in the cities that take control of whole sections, blocks, and neighborhoods. They arrest and harass all those in sight. In New York, it is referred to as TNT. In DC, it is the Rapid Deployment Team, and small subcontracts of this exist in Newark, Detroit, Chicago, and California, where even helicopters are used. Many mayors are calling for National Guard and setting curfews. There has been talk in DC of curfews and National Guard. In Newark, they have brought in the state troopers. What I am trying to make clear before we join the war on drugs is let's examine its motives. Let's be scientific and realize we can no longer be blamed for the Frankenstein created by this system. We must understand that in the words of George Jackson, the ultimate expression of law is not order but prison. There are thousands of laws in prisons, but still no social order or peace. The only way to stop the killing and drug selling is not to buy into capitalist oppression and racist regimes, but to create jobs and attack the educational foundations of these schools and make them teach our children. The last issue is reparations. There has been a historical cry for reparations in our community that we have never seen to receive. The Japanese have received their reparations. The Jews were given a state that it's not even theirs. And we continue to be the footstool for the world. We cannot buy into these conservative philosophies about handouts, because what we get, we earn. And whatever the United States gives us, it's not enough. The money that they could give us would never be enough, because they can't put value on the millions we lost in the Middle Passage, the process of making us into slaves, and the psychological destruction and pain they have put on us. The degradation they have made before the world, the lynchings and the rapings of our minds, our free labor, no single price can be put on any of this. We must fight for free education with advanced training and social and economic support for the development of our schools, books, and materials on all levels of learning. Lastly, I would like to speak on America's foreign policy and why we should not participate in its wars. We know historically that foreign policy, so-called foreign policy, has been a disguise for the U.S. colonialistic and exploitative behavior towards the world. It seeks to increase the U.S. chokehold on the world's rich global resources. In fact, as Africans, we know, as Walter Rodney termed it, how Europe helped to underdevelop Africa. In the spirit of Malcolm, we must relate ourselves to the struggle of African people all over the world. And when we support the U.S. and its wars, we are actually helping the corporations oppress the world and increase our own bondage in the hells of North America. As student activists, in the army or not, we must not support these wars, verbally nor physically. We must do all that we can to make sure none of our brothers go to fight and help make the world safe for capitalism and racism and democracy notwithstanding. We must also realize that one day we must organize our brothers and sisters in the streets, in the jails. We must organize the so-called drug dealers and prepare to change our intellectual endeavors into armed struggle, or like the last poet say, exchange poems and essays into rifles and guns.